Good evening, everyone. If you're a first-time guest here at Calvary Gospel Church, we just want to welcome you here tonight. We're just thankful you're here. If you haven't already, we'd like for you to stop by the kiosk in the back of the vestibule, and there's a little iPad there. We'd like for you to just fill out a couple of points of information. We'd like to get in contact with you sometime this week. Maybe next week. I'm not sure how the office hours are going to stack up, but if you're visiting online, you can follow that bit.ly link that you see on your screen where it says /connect to CG, and that's how you would be able to get in touch with us, or we would be able to get in touch with you. Sorry about that little distraction. I'm a little distracted by the little ring there, but we're working on this. How awesome was the Christmas play this last week? It's been awesome. So all these amazing props are still up, and we just had an awesome time. I was so surprised. I don't know why I was surprised, but I was really surprised at how all the lines, all those kids knew all their lines and had it all together, and like everything was just flowing so good. And so we're just kind of resetting our sound system, so there might be a couple little flaws tonight. If you hear it, just overlook it. We're going to get it tuned back up, all right? We want to remind you of some giving options tonight. Here at Calvary Gospel Church, there's four ways to give. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving, or you can give in person at one of the small boxes that are mounted to the wall by the entryways to the sanctuary here. You can also give by mail if you want to give a check, money order, whatever you would want to do. You can send that to 5301 Commercial Avenue at any time, and we would receive that and be thankful for that. Also, you can give on the mobile giving app. It's called Church Center. And so if you haven't had that installed on your phone, you can just do that at the app store. Type in your phone number and kind of get connected that way. And there are ways to see all that what we do here at Calvary Gospel Church. But also, you can give online there at any time. And so it's a great option for you. We want to remind you of some of our service schedule changes. Christmas Eve service is going to be at 10 a.m. this Sunday, and so there won't be any classes. We'll be meeting right here in the sanctuary, and so if you're one of the folks that come at 11, you'll have to come at 10, or you're going to probably miss the majority of the service. And so we'll be taking our final Christmas for Christ offering also on that day, and so there won't be any midweek service next Wednesday, and regular service schedules resume Sunday, December 31st. And so at this time, Brother Tim Powell, would you come on up here? We have some special needs, and we'd like for Brother Tim to tell us something that's going on in his family's life.
Thank you. Sorry, kind of tough to hold it together sometimes, but Leander and Andrew, my grandson, he's three, he's been battling like a fever and stuff for weeks, and they gave him some antibiotics, and it just wasn't breaking it, so they took him into the Madigan medical facility in Tacoma. Did some blood works, and they said he's got leukemia, but yesterday he had spinal tap, blood draws in his first round of chemo. They hadn't decided, they don't know yet what kind it is, but they've started treatment just in case. So today he had his first blood transfusion and a second round of chemo. We call him Zippy. His name's Zephaniah Andrew Paul Peterson. Zap is his initials, so we call him Zippy. But he really loves. He's got a picture of a grandpa dressed up as the Grinch. I'm sorry. Anyway, so I got a little plush toy of the Grinch that we're going to have the pastors anoint and send it to him. We've literally got folks from the East Coast to the West Coast, prayer chains going. And so, you know, we're hurt for him, but God's got this. we've had too many miracles in our lives and too much happened that there's no way that God doesn't have this under control. So thank you, everybody, for your prayers, and I really appreciate our staff and stuff doing this for us.
We could just have everyone stand. If I could just have our ministers and our elders come up here tonight. We've anointed prayer cloths, anointed towels. Can't say I've ever anointed a Grinch before. But you know what? We're going to anoint this, and we're going to come right down here so we can just all kind of gather around. And if we could just all, as a congregation, let's just pray for this little guy, that God's hand would be upon him, and that he would touch his body, and also Leandra and Andrew. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as we anoint this toy, Lord, this little stuffed Grinch, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, would flow through this, Lord God. Lord, I believe, Lord Jesus, in a healing touch, and I believe that you can deliver, God. And I pray, Lord God, for little Zippy right now, Lord God, as he begins all of these various treatments, Lord, that your hand will be upon him. Your hand will be upon me, Andrew, and Andrew, God. Lord, I pray, God, a healing touch, Lord, right now, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to pray for them, and we're going to let our worship team lead us into worship now. God bless you.
Singing o'er the plains. With Standing in your glory, you are here.
Presence of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. You can be seated. I know Brother Jerry had made mention of, but I just want to make mention as well. Our kids, our Sunday school staff did such a great job on Sunday. That was so enjoyable. And, Christmas is just a few more days away. It's hard to believe, isn't it? And then you got a week when Christmas Eve is Sunday, and then next Sunday would be New Year's Eve. And we're right on the very end of 2023. It's hard to believe that this year went by so fast, isn't it? Just amazing to me. We've been in a series, and we're talking about turning our failures into successes, and we've been going through the alphabet from A to Z, and so we are in part number 4 of this series, and we're going to start off tonight with the letter N, and we're going to get into this because a lot to cover tonight. This is a very good, there's some good things in this lesson. Some of these things I wish I would have known when I was much younger, but some of you young folks, you can take some of these things and apply these to our lives, because you're always going to have failures. I mean, there's always going to be things going wrong. You may have had one of those days today to where that everything you touch just fell apart. I've had days like that. Sometimes you have weeks that way. You need to worry when you have a month that way. It's like, okay, what do we got to do here? But we're talking about turning failure into success from A to Z. We're in series. This is part 4. Letter N says, narrow your focus on what's important spiritually, what's important to your family, what's important to you. Now, you could spend weeks in a Bible study talking about focusing your life. Okay, there's so much that could be added into this and such. And of course, we're just covering a short segment of this to bring it to your attention. And I want to encourage you, if there's any of these letters that you struggle with, to write down that letter and write down the corresponding principle that goes with that letter and do a Bible study on that. And you may say, well, I don't know where to go to look in the Bible. Well, let me just tell you something. You know, you can Google all kinds of things. You can find out how to change the oil in a 1964 Rambler. You can find out how to fix a snowblower or sharpen mower blades. How about trying to figure out how to get your life focused from a biblical principled way just by Googling it, all right? You can do that. And there'll be all kinds of Bible verses that'll go along with that. So to keep life in focus is a whole study within itself. But by narrowing your focus on what you want, you can get more specific. And remember, our God is a God of specifics. God doesn't speak in generalities. He's very specific when he speaks. He's very specific as to what he wants and what he expects from us. He is clear and he is exact. So our focus can be simply defined as whatever has your attention. It's clear that God wants us focused on his plan for our lives. And just a little side note here, whatever you plant into your mind Remember the passages of Scripture that we've covered many, many times over this past year. Whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. This is a little bit different spin on it, but it puts it in a little different focus tonight. Whatever you plant in your mind will be harvested in your life. Did you get that? Whatever you plant in your mind is going to be harvested in your life. Now, we have a number of various versions of Scripture that we can read from. I like to read from the Message from time to time. And Luke chapter 9, verse 41 in the Message, Jesus pretty much, he spills this out and he makes it very, very plain. And he says, what a generation. No sense of God, no focus on your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things and how much longer do I have to put up with this? Now, that's pretty blunt. But sometimes we have to, sometimes God has to get blunt with us, doesn't he? As I said, he doesn't spare. He says what he wants to say, and he says it how he wants to say it. So he's saying, what a generation. I think this same thing could apply to us today. What a generation. No sense of God. No focus on your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Many of you have probably heard of Anthony Robbins. He's a noted author and a motivational speaker. And he said this, it's not what's happening to you now or what has happened in your past that determines who you become. Rather, it's your decisions about what you focus on, what things mean to you, and what you're going to do about them that will determine your ultimate destiny. That's a pretty powerful statement. Pretty powerful statement. Narrow your focus on what's important spiritually, what's important to your family, and what's important to you. Now, the next letter that we have tonight is the letter O. O starts with open your mind to the infinite possibilities God can use to give you the desires of your heart. How many of you would love to have God just give you the desires of your heart? How many are you willing to open up your mind to the infinite possibilities, no matter where that may take you? Napoleon Hill, the author of The Rich, or Think and Grow Rich, he was also the speechwriter for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, so that kind of puts you in the time frame of when he lived. He once said, what the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. I go back, and if you look back into the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, and we read the story about the Tower of Babel, where that God said, you know what, I'm going to have to take and confound the languages of humanity, because they're going to take and anything they can conceive, they're going to do. So the desire of man was like, hey, you know what? We're never going to get flooded out again. God's never going to flood us out again. We're going to show God. We're going to build a tower that reaches all the way to the heavens. And then it's basically as a temptation to God to say, okay, God, flood this. But they missed out on it. And God says, no. I'm not going to flood the earth again. Next time it's going to be fire. So, but anyway, God saw that man, whatever he thought of doing, he was going to accomplish. And you get a bunch of guys together, and it's amazing how many incredible things can be accomplished and how many stupid things can be done. I've been in both sides of that equation. I've been with some guys, and it's just like, hey, you think we can do this? Yeah, that's pretty stupid, but let's, you know, that's how you end up going to a picnic and coming home with a broken leg, you know, things like that. But although I have great admiration for the writings and the thoughts of Mr. Hill, If we look in the book of Mark, we look at the chapter 9, verse 23. God's words translation says, Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. You see, the greatest limitation, listen to me, the greatest limitations that we will ever face in life are self-imposed limitations, where we tell ourselves we can't do this. Self-maintaining and self-defeating. Did you notice all of those have one word in common? Self. I've said this many, 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 many times across this pulpit. The biggest battle that you will ever face in your life is between your own two ears. It's not the boss man trying to take you down. It's not a nagging wife or a bad husband or bratty children, rotten, spoiled teenagers. What it is literally your attitude and what goes on between your two ears. So many times the limitations that we face in our life are self-imposed, self-maintaining, and self-defeating. And God wants you and I to believe in possibilities, not limitations. We're talking about turning failures into successes here. He wants this body, he wants his church living in excellence. Did you hear that? He wants this body, he wants this church living in excellence, not excuses. And so many times I hear more excuses on why. Letter P, plan your future, your destiny, by planning what you're going to do every day. Every day. I went through a period of my life where that I just got up and went to work. There was very little planning, and just whatever happened in the day, and I'd come home and kind of same thing. I'd have a few things I wanted to do at night when I get home from work, but I never sat down and began to plan out what I wanted to do or how I wanted life to be. And as a result, I wasn't very happy with life, because life just kind of, you just kind of roll with life. And I decided at around 1997 that I'm done with this. I'm done with this. This was, I believe, around my 35th year on this earth that I said, you know what, 35 years I've lived frustration and frustration after frustration. I want to change this. So I went out and I got me a big, huge calendar. One of those big desk calendars. Now, this was back. We didn't have all this fancy internet calendar and all this kind of stuff. The internet was just being born at about this time. So I still use the old calendar, and I got me some colored pens, and I got me a little protractor that I could write nice, straight, neat lines. And I began to take and put my life down on a calendar. So what do I want to do Monday? This is what I want to do Monday. And this is what I want to do Monday at 7 o'clock. And this is what I want to do Monday at 8 o'clock and at 8:30 and at 9. And I laid life out. And you know what? Life began to get easier. I could plan things. I could see ahead 2 weeks into the future. I could see ahead a month into the future. And when people say, hey, you want to go do this or do that, I could take it. I could look at my calendar. And I could say, I can do that. Or no, I can't do it then, but how about this time? So I began to plan for my future. And as you begin to plan for your future, it's amazing how God will step in and begin to fulfill your destiny. And don't forget to plan for God. Okay? So plan your future. A successful plan requires you to step outside of your comfort zone. Now, I had never lived my life this way. And although I don't live my life hour to hour as I did for 5 years of my life, I lived my life literally Monday through Saturday, hour by hour by hour. Okay? I could go back to you, Brother Millen, because I saved all of this. I could go back to you 1999 on Monday, January, the first week of January, and I could tell you where I was and what I did on those dates. For 5 years, I could tell you. I don't know what my wife just said over there to Sister Martha, but they're both laughing. I think she said, I wish he would do that now. I do it now, just not quite as in detail. So a successful plan requires you to step outside your comfort zone, leaving behind the hindrances of the past while embracing the possibilities of the future. We have a lot of folks here that are self-employed and they're their own boss, and well, at least you think you're your own boss. Your customers are really the boss. But nevertheless, I just want to encourage you, in order to get control of your life, in order to get control of business, sometimes you have to get control of your schedule. So plan your future, your destiny, by planning what you do every day. If you stay in your comfort zone, this is a really important point right here. If you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave or surpass your current reality. Did you get that, folks? This is one you want to write down, okay? If you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave or surpass your current reality. Hebrews 6:1 in the Amplified tells us, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ. Paul is talking here to the church, and he's saying, listen, we got to get past the elementary stages and teachings of the doctrine of Christ. We have to advance steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Sometimes we get stuck on Easy Street because we don't want to challenge ourselves. We don't want to push ourselves. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works and of the faith by which you turned to God. So if you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave or surpass your current reality. So we must plan our future, your destiny, by planning what you're going to do every day. You have a smartphone. Use it smartly. One of my pet peeves is when people say, yeah, I want to meet with you. This is about planning your day. I want to meet with you, Pastor. I want to meet with you. So we set up a time and a place to meet, and you show up, and either they're 45 minutes late. I usually don't wait around that long. But I've had people want to meet, and they show up, and they're on the phone the whole time that you're supposed to be talking. And we sat at a restaurant. A young man invited me to meet with him and had to talk, and I come in, and he's on the phone. We order, and he's still on the phone. We eat, he's still on the phone. I get up, go to the bathroom, realize he's still on the phone. I pay the bill and leave. He calls me up like 15 minutes later. Hey, Pastor, you went to the bathroom, and I never saw you come back. Where are you? Well, I'm back at church. Oh, I thought we were meeting today. Well, I thought so, too. But you spent the whole lunch hour on the telephone. Well, I sat there. And my time's valuable too. So you know what? Plan. Plan, plan, plan. And we're going to finish with this letter Q because we have a little bit to cover in here. And this is something that is really, really a very, very powerful principle that we need to really grasp a hold of, because this principle here, I believe, by violating it, is what most of us do that hinders us in our walk with God and our success as a Christian, as well as sometimes in the secular our secular life, and that is quit second-guessing your decisions on whether or not you're destined to succeed. So I want to repeat that. The letter Q is quit second-guessing your decisions on whether or not you're destined to succeed. I'm just going to be very, very plain and blunt in this on the letter Q here. Second guessing is a waste of time. Did you get that? Second guessing is a waste of time, especially when you've already made a spirit-led decision and created a plan for success. So if you've created a plan for success and you know it's a God plan and you know God's in it, and you sit back and you constantly second guess everything that is done, you are wasting your time and those the time around you, those and everybody else's time. James 1:8 says, "For as being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, he feels, and decides. Basically, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." What's a double-minded man? It's a man that can't make up his mind. It's a man that's always second-guessing everything he does. There's no question God wants us to succeed. If he didn't want us to succeed, he wouldn't have gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. He wouldn't have given us a book, 66 books that are broken down into chapters and verses and into time periods. He wouldn't have given us all of this. So he wants to succeed. He's given us a prescription for success. We can read in Joshua chapter 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. And then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be wisely and have good success." So when I look at this, I can break this down into three things that we need to look for when you're struggling with second-guessing yourself. And this happens far too often, and it holds us back far too many times when we're trying to complete what God has called us to do. So the number one point under the letter Q is, if you've prayed and committed this decision, whatever it may be, whether it's a ministry decision, maybe you've decided that you're going to take and you're going to get involved in a deeper level of ministry. If you prayed and you've committed to this decision to the Lord before you made this decision, this is a sign that God is saying, stop second guessing yourself. So if you've prayed about this, God has confirmed in his prayers. I think one of the most frustrating things that we can do to God is we can pray and say, God, will you put a fleece out before the Lord, and you say, God, if you do this, then I know this is what you want me to do. So we put a fleece out before God. God does this. And so we're saying, okay, God, I got it. And then we turn around and we're asking God, weeks later, we're asking to confirm the same thing again, just in a different way. That is second-guessing God. That is second-guessing. It's especially easy to second-guess your decision about something when the results don't turn out to be what you thought they would be. So maybe you sensed you needed to go slower with someone, but you expressed this desire to slow down, and this person gets defensive. And they ghost you, and now you're wondering, did I do the right thing? Perhaps you had a job that was so-so. It wasn't a great job, but it wasn't a bad job. And you switched companies to make more money, but now you're dealing with a lot more stress. And you're asking yourself, well, maybe God wanted me to stay at my old job. I've had this happen to me in my life. God just, wait a minute, wait a minute. What? All of the time you spent praying and fasting and seeking counsel and everything you asked for, I did. And now you're going to say, are you sure about this, God? That would you think about Gideon is a perfect example of a man who he was questioning God. And he has this fleece, this lamb skin, and that's where the term fleecing comes from. And he lays it out and said, okay, God, if you want me to do this, then when I wake up in the morning, I want all the ground around it dry and the fleece soaking wet. Wakes up in the morning, fleece is soaking wet. Wring it out in a bucket and fill the bucket up. The ground around is perfectly dry. Now, that's pretty miraculous. But he wasn't done there. He says, oh, okay, God, you know, maybe somebody, you know, begin to doubt. The next night, it's like, Lord, okay. I want the fleece to be perfectly dry, and I want everything around it soaking wet. That'd be like taking a piece of carpet, laying it out in your front yard, and it coming a 3-inch thunderstorm overnight, and everything in the yard is wet but the carpet. You see, maybe you've had a relationship that failed, and maybe your ex got into a new relationship really fast and they're now married and you begin to have doubts that maybe you'll be single forever and I just can't seem to find that someone that I love. Please listen. Please listen very carefully. If you prayerfully did your best in the past to make a good decision, then you must trust that you did your best. Stop second guessing. It's not fair to judge. Listen, this is so, so critical. It's not fair to judge past decisions in the light of new information. What you could do then to make the right choice then? Proverbs 16:12 states, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So stop second guessing everything you do. You pray and you ask God to confirm. God confirms, then you take and you move on. If you tried to follow the Lord, but now you're second guessing yourself, the results are not what you hope for, remind yourself that this journey that you are on is not over. It's not done. It's not completed. God is not finished working in your life. And sometimes we just need to travel further down the road to see that this decision that we made was really the right choice. We live in a society where that we want everything right here, right now. If we can't get it fast enough, we've got to where that we order stuff online from Amazon and it's going to take 2 days to get here. I mean, for crying out loud, dude, it's coming from Pakistan. What more do you want? You're getting your rug. You know what I'm saying? This is a society we live in. So what happens is we take those same things and we want to apply them to God in our lives, where that we want God to answer and we want him to answer right now, God. God doesn't work on that same time frame. Number two, if you did what you know was biblically right, even though it's not what you wanted emotionally, this is a sign that God is saying, stop second guessing yourself. The Bible doesn't say do the right thing when it's easy to do the right thing. But again, God doesn't tell you to just obey his leading when it feels like it's the right emotional decision. God calls us to obey his word at all times. If your emotions are going against what this is saying, follow what this is saying. Okay? Follow what this is saying. Of course, we're going to fail at this. And sometimes we just have to re-aim. We have to refocus. And if we wait to obey God until we feel like it, then we're probably never going to obey him. However, when you make the right choice, even when you don't feel like it, eventually your emotions, they usually catch up to you when you start feeling like and you start to feel like obeying God as well. Sometimes we just, I can tell you, sometimes I sit down to study and I'm like, I just don't feel like studying. Have you ever had that? You have a test coming up. You know it's a big test, and you just don't feel like it. You have a big project at work, and it's going to be a challenge of a project. You don't feel like it. You just have to do it. If you know you obeyed the Bible, never second-guess your decision. It may take time to see the positive fruit of your obedience, but one day you will undoubtedly see it. So be patient. Stick with it. And our last point here, point three, if you're in a messy phase of repentance, hear this, if you're in a messy phase of repentance, means if you're trying to get over some bad boo-boos, so if you're in a messy phase of repentance, but still the pain of you're going through is causing you to second-guess yourself, God says you're still making the right choice. Example of this, so if I got mixed up with credit cards and bad debt, so I just made some really poor financial decisions. Maybe you bought a car that you shouldn't have bought, and you knew when you bought it, it was going to be a little bit tough on your budget. Or maybe you bought a house, and your house is way too much house than what you can afford. I tell people this, listen, if you can't afford the taxes on the house, you can't afford the house. Okay? Everybody knows here, my wife and I, we have a motorhome. We love to travel in it. It's not anything super expensive and huge. You know, it's a nice, it's older, it's 20 plus years old. But I remember talking to the salesman, asking him, how big of a fuel tank does this have? And he's like, oh, it's 150 gallons. I'm like, whoa. What's it cost to fill that up? I never will forget. His name was Don. I never will forget his response to it. He says, if you're worried about how much it costs to fill it up, you can't afford to drive it. That's a good point. That has stuck with me. There's so many times we go and get something, we can't afford to fill it up. We get ourselves into trouble, and what happens is our credit score, it's in the tank. So now I need to learn to live on a budget and manage my money better. You see, I'm in this messy phase, but the pain of going through it is causing me to second guess myself, and God is saying, you know what? Keep pushing. You're making the right choice. You got to dig yourself out of this. You get in. Listen, financial messes can be hard to dig out of. Remember years ago, I went to Sears. I didn't have a lawnmower. I so desperately wanted to have a new lawnmower, riding lawnmower. We had 5 acres. I went to Sears, and I got one of those Sears Plus cards. And I bought a brand new 18-horsepower Sears lawnmower. It was beautiful. Brought it home. I was so excited about this, and I started making minimum payments. And after a couple years, I'm still making minimum payments, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I'm hardly paying this thing off. So I sat down and I started looking at it. Sister Martha's a money person. She'll appreciate this. I figured it out, Sister Martha. It was going to take me longer to pay off that lawnmower than it would pay off the 30-year mortgage on my house if I made minimum payment. You see, these are just messes we get ourselves into. And we don't dig out of them instantly overnight. Sometimes it takes us weeks and months and years to dig ourselves out of some of the holes we get ourselves into. So, Paul covers this well in Hebrews 12, verses 6 through 11. So you can, I'm not going to read that, but you can write that down. So, if our musicians can come tonight, I'm used to being done at 8 o'clock because our kids have been in practice, but they're not in practice anymore, are they? So I can keep going, can I? I'm just kidding. We can stand tonight. You see, we can begin to second guess ourselves when we're being disciplined and going through the painful process of sanctification. See, God is not looking for us to be repentant. He wants us to be, we've heard that, saved and sanctified. He wants us to become perfected as we can become. And it's a process. It's a process that we have to go through. And we struggle in so many of these areas because we haven't learned how to principally taking Scripture and taking Scripture's principled Scriptures and take our failures and turn them into successes. We just think, well, okay, there's going to be a better day or a brighter day, or it'll pass. Well, that may be true. It's all going to pass. As long as we're still alive, it's going to pass. But God's not just looking for us to just have it pass. He wants us to enjoy this. He gave this to us so we can overcome our failures and take those failures and turn them into successes. So don't give up. It's a process. If you stay faithful, you'll dig out of that financial mess, and pretty soon you'll go in and you'll find out that it's a lot easier to buy a car. It's a lot faster when they don't have to search through 33 different banks and credit companies to see if they could give you a loan. You go in for your house and they say, oh, wow, Mr. Grant, you have a tremendous credit score. Wasn't always this way. I could tell you about a lawnmower. You see, and I don't know what your future is or what God's plan is for you specifically. But I do know that when we love and follow the Lord, good things are in store for you and I. And we must never second guess that truth. Never second guess that truth. So turning our failures into success, nail your focus on what's important spiritually, what's important to your family, and what's important to you. I got my notes all mixed up here. Quit second guessing your decisions. Plan your future, your destiny, by planning what you're going to do every day, and open your mind to the infinite possibilities that God can use to give you the desires of your heart. Now we're going to, Sunday morning, we're going to have a special Christmas Eve service. It will be a Christmas Eve themed message. And then next Sunday morning, we're going to wrap this series up. And we're going to cover the XYZ that people have been asking about. I hope this has been a blessing to you. But as we close this out this evening and as our worship team begins to sing, I just want us to say, okay, Lord, I want to have an open mind. I want to quit second guessing everything I do. So can we just spend some time tonight just talking to the Lord? Maybe putting some things into priority, putting some things into focus, bringing some things into focus. So go ahead, Sister Sarah. Thank you.
whatever you want to, and I will make room for you.
Lord, church. Some of you will be traveling over the holidays. You may not be here on Sunday morning. If you're not here on Sunday morning, I just want to wish you, Sister Lois and I and all the staff here at Calvary, wish you a very, very Merry Christmas, safe Christmas. Love all of you. Appreciate you all. Remember, service will be starting at 10 o'clock on Sunday, not 11 o'clock, so 10 o'clock. And there will be no midweek service next Wednesday night. And we'll resume our normal schedule the following Sunday, which will be New Year's Eve at 10 o'clock. We'll have 10 o'clock adult Bible lesson and then 11 o'clock worship service. So God bless you. be safe. Travel safe if you're traveling. And we'll see you back here on Christmas Eve. Thank you to our worship team, Sister Sarah. You ladies, thank you very much. You too, Jordan.